Chapter 18 War Wounds, Part 2. To club a tiger, it takes blood brothers. Taiwanese proverb. Wufei sat in a chair he'd bummed from the nurse's station, the beeps of monitors punctuating his thoughts. In theory, he wasn't allowed in post-ops, but after his help in the operating theater, he thought Helsman had warned the rest of the staff that both young men were something of a special case, and that, for the health of everyone concerned, Wufei should be allowed to do as he wished. As a result, he and Hiro were as far away from the other patients as could be, stuck in a corner of the big recovery room, with a curtain half drawn, and the nurses with strict orders to leave them alone until summoned. He knew the instant Hiro came to, though his partner did not move and the monitors didn't get very excited about the fact. Wufei stood up and approached the bed with the caution required. "Yui, it's me, Chang. You're safe." Hiro was still for a few seconds. Then he opened his eyes. "Don't get agitated." The monitors beeped slowly and reprovingly at Wufei for making such a rash assumption about Hiro's emotional state. "Right. You just got out of the operating theater, and you're wide awake a whole hour before they thought you would be. Naturally. There wasn't..." Hiro had been staring at the ceiling, but suddenly he was twisted sideways, away from Wufei. "Yui!" Hiro reached with practiced hands towards the monitor, unclipped a few wires, the ones connecting its alarm to the nurse's station, then... "God damn it, Yui, don't!" Wufei tried to interfere, but he couldn't grab his injured partner, and he couldn't quite reach the busy hands. The monitor recording air pressure and oxygenation data from the tube in Hiro's throat gave an odd chuckle and then switched off. "Yui, you need that too!" Hiro had already pulled the tube out of his throat with a wrenching cough. "Damn it! You fool! You'll rip your vocal cords out! You need that to breathe!" Hiro coughed and rasped, but the hand gesture was imperious as it flicked towards the respirator hooked to the oxygen outlet in the wall. Wufei gave him a glare that bounced right off hard blue eyes. "Very well, sir," Wufei snarled, jerking the mask from the wall and slipping it over his partner's head after checking the flow. "Anything else I can do for you? Sponge bath, maybe?" Hiro adjusted the strap on the mask, coughed some more. His mouth was gummy with dried blood. The look he gave Wufei was more than eloquent, though. "Try it, and I'll break every bone in your wrist, and maybe a few in your arm, too." "Oh, you're going to be a joy to nurse back to health. I wish much happiness and fortune to our staff back in the Brussels clinic," Wufei growled. But he couldn't help a flicker of relief. "When?" Hiro rasped, voice muffled by the mask. "When? You'll be evacuated back to HQ as soon as you're stable."
"Stable now?"
"Yes, I know. But the staff here aren't used to dealing with stubborn, indestructible hardasses like you, and will require a little more convincing. I expect they'll be glad to get rid of you sometime tomorrow, or possibly the next day."
"You said Erlina."
"Safe and back in Sank by now. Sam said she's been calling everyone, from Un to the president of ESUN, to be allowed to fly back here and sit around and hold your hand, but..."
"Sam..."
"In charge of the investigation. Yui, you really shouldn't be talking this much. They patched up your lung, but you had quite a lot of damage."
"Can move arms and legs, but..." "Mobility compromised."
Wufei sighed. "Relax. And don't worry. There's still some fluid swelling around your spinal cord, but they put in a shunt to reduce fluid buildup. No permanent damage, they think. And I know you're off the chart when it comes to healing anyway."
"Hostiles?"
"You know, if you don't shut up and rest, I'll just leave. Hiro gave him a look. No, you won't. Wu Fei ground his teeth. One got away with the help of an accomplice. Three dead, one critical. One caught trying to get out of the hotel and in custody. We have some IDs. Two were local to Berlin, one of whom was a bona fide waiter at the Maxims. The one Wu Fei had killed in the mezzanine. The other was a fake. He was the one holding Relina. Ex-Oz, apparently. We think they were helped by others on the hotel staff. Otherwise, somebody would surely have noticed an addition to the roster. Plus, someone put a loop on the cameras, and there was a false alarm that distracted some of the teams downstairs. Sam is heading interrogations. We're assuming the waiters smuggled in weapons before the conference started. We're still not sure. Come here. Where's the other one? We're still at war, motherfucker! We're still not sure what they wanted. They had exits planned and getaway vehicles, but some of them weren't really expecting to get out of there alive. Hiro stared at him, but didn't ask any further questions. His breathing was still harsh. The lines of pain were starting to draw themselves around his eyes and mouth. Want evac now. This place is okay. I'll keep watch. They're letting me call the shots now, after you nearly knocked their anesthesiologist on her ass while supposedly sedated. Hiro's eyes were glazed, but still twitching left and right. I should get the doctor in here to check you, and keep him from flipping out when he realizes you've extubated yourself. I'll try to keep the nursing staff around you to a minimum. Hiro tried to speak, but it came out a rasp, and he licked his lips. They make... His voice faded to nothing, but Wu Fei read the words. Make you leave. I'm staying right here. Hiro's lips moved again. You. Don't worry about it. Just get some rest. I'll go get the doctor. Wu Fei watched him as Hiro's eyes closed and his body relaxed, passed out again. He stayed by the bed, staring at the blood gumming Hiro's lips beneath the mask. Then he looked around. Part of him was looking for Helsman or a nurse. The rest was just looking. At the other three patients in the big recovery room, at the nurses quietly moving among them, at family members on the other side of the glass window, with only thoughts of their loved ones pulling through on their minds, at people moving around the hospital, trying to heal and get on with their lives. In his mind's eye, he could see someone pulling a gun out and bringing all of this crashing down around their ears with one wayward shot. We're still at war! Screams, blood, and overturned tables. The bend of Relina's neck, the gun against her temple. Can't shoot without hitting her. The mission, helpless, still at war. Wu Fei reached for the wall phone nearby without really looking. Punched a number. Operator, I need to be patched through to Preventer HQ here in Berlin. Chang Wu Fei, I'm in post ops. That's right. Hello? This is Agent Chang. 342 PID. Brussels. Can you patch this line through to a number I give you? It's a colony number. Yes, I'll hold, but hurry, please. Night was falling. Hiro was in a private room, his vital statistics having remained so disgustingly stable. The staff really had no excuse to keep him in ICU. Wu Fei was looking out the room's window at the lights coming on in the small green area surrounding the hospital. His arms were crossed on his chest and his fingers were tapping his biceps in a slow beat. A sound from the bed made him turn. Hiro stirred, then froze as pain woke up with him. I'm here, Wu Fei said, as blue eyes, now more focused, flashed around the room. Hiro coughed and frowned, shifting his oxygen mask. Want a drink? Nurses said you could have one when you came to. He handed Hiro a cup with a straw attachment when his partner nodded. Hiro took a small sip and swished it around his mouth before swallowing with a grimace. He shook his head at the tube Wufei held up again. That small leg in his breathing had left him panting. Wufei put down the cup and picked up the papers, clipped to a chart he'd set on the bedside table. Here, sign this. Rights of attorney for medical decisions. Wufei slipped the papers and a pen in Hiro's hands, noting the grip was firm and steady. Hiro tried to focus on the page in the dim light shining on his monitors.
Didn't we already do this? He rasped. I thought I signed my release to you before.
You did. This is mine. Wufei leaned over and switched on the reading lamp.
Oh.
Hiro looked at the paper blankly. Wufei thought he knew how his partner felt. He'd been staring at the cream-colored hospital wall near Hiro's bed, with much the same dazed expression all afternoon.
I never thought we'd need...
Hiro's voice was a faint whisper.
What? You thought I'd shoot you to keep you from falling into enemy hands?
Wufei asked, his voice more biting than he intended.
Despite what some may think, the war is over. We might actually make it to our majority.
It came as a shock to me, too. Wufei added in a mutter.
It had. The biggest shock, the reason he was being sarcastic and cold right now, was the thought, every time he had looked at Hiro's unconscious face today, that he might actually live to see the ripe old age of, say, 30. Alone. Though Un rather expected them to come back from their missions alive, their jobs were still dangerous. The thought of being alone had never frightened him before. They had expected to die during the war, and the first to leave would not have had long to wait at the gates of hell for the others to show up. Death had been such a constant, such a certitude, almost reassuring. The peace hadn't changed that. Death clung to their every thought like scar tissue. It was why they could fill in a next of kin box, but not think of a medical release. Wufei chased the thought from his mind bitterly. They'd been abruptly forced to move past that this morning, with a bullet that had missed propelling them into a future they might actually live to see. Oh, he knew that death still dogged them. He'd filled in his own next of kin card earlier that day, listening to its recipient's ragged breathing and the beep of monitors. But death had spared them till now, amazingly enough. They shouldn't be counting on it, especially if it could be avoided, thanks to some stupid paperwork or other.
We're still at war.
No, we're not. It's time to stop thinking like we were. It's time to start looking out for little details like this.
Wufei didn't fear his death, but he didn't like the idea of living while losing his rival partner. Losing the edge that made life still worth living. Losing one of the few people who could understand that. From the look in Hiro's eyes, in that one unguarded moment, he wasn't relishing the thought either. Though they were both uneasy with the concept of being each other's only family, the alternative was ugly enough to accept it without further posturing. This was also a necessary arrangement.
We're idiots, Wufei said, breaking the moment as Hiro handed him the signed paper. We should have thought of this before. Here, sign this one too. It's a cleaned-up version of the one you signed this morning, without the illegible scrawl and the bloodstains. I'll have these notarized and put into the SpaceNet database and Preventer files. We'll be covered in both Earth and space from now on. He scribbled his own signature on the forms and put them away carefully. Hiro nodded as he sank back into the cushion. He was frowning, his eyes on the ceiling. Then they twitched towards Rufei's.
Chang, what happened? How did he miss me? You couldn't shoot him with Relina in the way. The hostages...
There was interference, Wufei said as smoothly as possible. It gave me the opportunity for a... Blue eyes narrowed. What happened? Wu Fei winced. So much for evasion.
Yui, you're recovering from severe trauma. You should...
Hiro's glare had been unaffected by the lung injury. Wu Fei was immune by now, but he knew Hiro would not let it rest.
Rulina managed to throw off his aim.
Throw his aim?
Wu Fei rolled his eyes. She dropped her weight on his weapon arm.
The deep, indrawn breath whistled through Hiro's lips and mask.
She what?
Yui.
What? Suicidal. Foolish.
Breathe, Yui. Calm down. It's over. It was instinct.
I'll give her instinct.
She's back in Sank.
Next time, I see.
Yui, she saved your life. I don't know much about women, but I think you owe her dinner rather than a verbal thrashing.
Hiro sagged back against the cushion, pale and visibly exhausted.
My life, mission, she could have gotten.
I know, but she didn't, and it gave me the opportunity for a headshot. We got her and all the other VIPs out safely.
Mission accomplished.
When can you get me out of here?
Tomorrow afternoon, or the day after tomorrow.
Why not now?
Stable. The hospital won't release you. Anyway, Yui, there's something...
Excuse me?
Wu Fei turned towards the door. A doctor he didn't know was leaning in.
You shouldn't be in here. It's past visiting hours.
Dr. Mund gave me permission.
But we're going to night shift.
The doctor, Orwell, according to his tag, came in and closed the door.
You've been here since this morning, and you're covered in blood as well. It's hardly hygienic for the patient.
Wu Fei frowned at his stiffened uniform. He discarded the flak jacket, but some of the blood had leaked through.
A friend was going to bring me a spare, but he forgot. He's been busy. Can I shower and change into scrubs?
No, the doctor snapped. You should go home and rest anyway.
Were you planning on staying here all night?
Yes, actually, Wu Fei said coolly.
Out of the question, especially in that state. The patient needs to sleep.
Orwell crossed his arms on his chest.
I must insist you leave. Herr General Director Mund did not give you permission to be here on a permanent basis.
Wu Fei hesitated. He'd rather thought the doctor's director had, but since the man had probably gone home by now, he couldn't confirm it. He looked at the doctor carefully. The man stared back, hostile and resolute. Wu Fei glanced down at Hiro, catching a vulnerable flicker in the blue, before the mask settled once more. The body beneath the sheet was tense. Wu Fei would have liked a bit more time to talk things over with him, reassure him.
Very well, Wu Fei said slowly. Give me a minute.
He waited, but Orwell didn't look ready to leave. Wu Fei turned back towards the bed, angled his body and leaned towards Hiro slightly.
I have to go, Yui. There's something I have to do anyway.
Hiro nodded. His body language was uneasy, even though it was almost trembling from the remnants of shock, anesthesia, and exhaustion. He looked tired, but not at all ready to let go and rest in such an unsecured location, and Wu Fei knew he'd be the same if the positions were reversed. The war was over, but old habits died even harder than Gundam pilots.
I'll come back tomorrow morning, Wu Fei said, leaning and practically sitting on the bed.
The staff here are quite efficient, and there is a security system and guards. He drew his lugger from his shoulder holster beneath his uniform and slipped it into Hiro's hand, the movement masked from the doctor by his body. Blue eyes widened slightly.
Try to get some sleep.
Wu Fei leaned forward, as if to pat Hiro's shoulder, and helped his partner slip the gun under the pillow, making sure Hiro could reach up that far despite the injury to his ribs.
Security on. Don't shoot nurse, he mouthed.
Hiro smirked.
I'll sleep okay, Chang,
Hiro replied,
shifting his head a bit, so it rested partially against hard metal.
Sure. See you soon.
At 10 p.m., Dr. Orwell entered the room again. He picked up Hiro's chart, flipped through it quickly, with his eyes on the monitors beeping slowly, indicating that Hiro was deeply asleep. Orwell stood still for a minute, then fumbled the chart back into its holder at the foot of the bed, went to poke his head out the door, and nodded. A man dressed as an intern came in. His brown hair was short and ragged, as if recently cropped but now growing out. His face was hard, thin jaw prominent, with clamped teeth, making him look older than his late 20s.
"Keep an eye out," he grunted.
Orwell hesitated, then cracked the door open an inch to see out in the empty hallway beyond. The man walked slowly towards the bed, eyes narrowing at the young man's face on the pillow, pale in the darkness of the room. The dim nightlight over the monitors added shadows to the wounded features under the oxygen mask. The man nodded, then drew a magnum with a silencer fitted on the end from beneath his hospital coat.
"How do I stop the monitors from going off?"
He didn't have to say why they would be going off. Orwell swallowed, still looking out into the hallway.
"I'm not sure. If I switch them off now, it will show up on the system." Too bad. Get ready to run back to the lounge and look innocent, Edwin. I'll find my own way out."
He flicked the security off the gun, stopped near the head of the bed, and brought it to bear slowly, as if savoring the moment. He twisted at the sound behind him, a thump and a muffled choking noise from Orwell.
"Ed? Was?"
The muzzle of Wufei's borrowed HK-4 touched him just at the edge, between the cheekbone and the eye.
"Gun down."
The man froze, staring at Wufei and a close-up of the gun in disbelief. Behind Wufei, Orwell choked again, trying to breathe through the punch to his solar plexus.
"How did you... gun?"
The man's lips curled back in a snarl. He stood still, as if daring Wufei to shoot. Then his eyes widened, and he flinched as he felt the barrel of his silencer butted aside. He spun to see the lugger shoving his gun away. Then it was pointing straight at his head.
"I got it, Yui,"
Wufei muttered, afraid his partner's fingers would spasm on the trigger. Hiro's hand was shaking ever so slightly, though not enough to make the shot any less deadly. Wufei leaned forward and ripped the magnum from the would-be assassin. The man finally moved, tried to wrench away from Wufei's hold. But he wasn't very good at hand-to-hand. He found himself cuffed, hands behind his back, in fairly short order. Wufei threw him face first against a wall, kicked out the back of his legs to make him kneel, then picked up and cuffed Orwell and dropped him in the same position.
What are you going to do with us?"
Orwell gasped, still breathless. Wufei didn't answer. He went back to the window. The room was 5 stories up. Fortunately, the hospital had decorative frontispieces at every story that made the climb fairly easy in the darkness, and he'd broken the window latch earlier, long before he'd been kicked out of the room. He stood silhouetted against the faint light behind him and waved twice.
"Look, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you can't just... I need to shout for help!"
Orwell's voice was trembling. The other man said nothing.
"Did you hurt anybody to get him in here?"
Wufei asked, without turning away from the window.
"Was? No! We are not murderers!"
"That's what I thought. Shout, and I will hurt you. It would be pretty easy to say you were resisting arrest. Know what a bullet through the hand or the shoulder would do to your career, doctor?" Orwell made a choking sound, and Wufei went to take up the man's previous position by the door, without adding anything. The sound of a woman's heeled shoes clacking in the hallway outside. Orwell moved, then froze as Wu Fei drew back the hammer of the HK without turning around. Voices echoed from further down the hall, speaking English and German. The hum of air conditioning, the beep of Hiro's monitors. Two light, quick raps on the door. Wu Fei pointed the HK at it and knocked on the door with his other hand 5 times in quick succession. The door opened and closed swiftly. In the dim light, a small figure moved slowly toward the bound men, while holstering another HK in the back of his jeans. But he said nothing, and the other's eyes stayed fixed on the two kneeling figures. "Let's do this." Duo grabbed Orwell and spun him around on his knees with deceptive ease. "This the guy?" His voice was low, but still pleasant. On the surface. "No, he's a doctor here. He helped him in, but take his prints too, just to be sure." A gloved finger lifted Orwell's badge thoughtfully, then drew a small reader from the pocket of the black jacket. Duo pressed several of Orwell's fingers against the glass surface of the reader, bending them roughly against the impairment of the restraints, heedless of the doctor's voiceless protests. "Okay," he grunted, as the reader confirmed the print's storage. "Next!" He grabbed the shooter's hands, still cuffed in the back, to find the man had balled them into fists. Duo grabbed the man's shoulder and spun him around so violently the intern scrubs ripped at the shoulder seam. The man found himself staring at a dangerous smile. "Steady, Scythe," Wu Fei murmured. "Steady my ass," Duo whispered, the manic grin and the eyes still fixed on Hiro's assailant. "We can do this 2 ways, buddy. The easy way," wave of the scanner, "or my way," Shinigami concluded, a knife tapping the man on the wrist. The attacker glared, but made up his mind quickly, looking away and relaxing his fingers. Duo sighed in obvious disappointment, his grin as sharp as the knife. A few beeps from the scanner and he stood up again. "Were there others?" Wu Fei murmured. "Yeah." Duo's smile widened at the suddenly chagrined look from the attacker. 2 more in a car downstairs." Then a look came into his eyes as he fiddled with the blade. A look Wu Fei hadn't seen much, even during the war. "Heavy arms took care of them. Sorry, Wing, but I've lost the taste for cold-blooded executions now that we're at peace." Wu Fei rolled his eyes as a look of horror and hate warred in the man's eyes. "Scythe, what?" Duo gave him a laboriously innocent look. "Don't torture the prisoners. Heavy arms only took their prints and shouldn't have harmed them." "Only because you told us to, Shenlong. Only because you told us to." Duo's smile was feral as he held the man's furious gaze. Then he spun, braid curving into the motion like a snake. "Sandrock has his guys ready. We'll be in touch." He paused for a second at the foot of the bed. "Take care, buddy." Hiro nodded painfully, but Duo had already turned and was listening at the door. Satisfied, he gave Wu Fei a thumbs up and slipped out as silently as nightfall. Wu Fei listened at the door for a few minutes, then turned and grabbed both men by the cuffed hands and heaved them to the small bathroom. "You wait in here," he said, shoving them to the tiles. On second thought, he took a third pair of cuffs from the small bag he'd brought with him on his climb and had dumped in the tub while waiting. He fastened the shooter's cuffs to the sink stand, or will he didn't bother with. "It's not comfortable, but I was able to stand it for a few hours. I'm sure you'll manage it too." Door closed on Orwell's whimpered question and the killer's glare. He sat down in the chair next to Hiro's bed, leaned back into it, stretched his legs and closed his eyes, settling in for another long wait with the patience born of long hours of meditation. A few minutes passed, lulled by the slow beep of monitors and a few noises from the night staff outside. "Chang?" The voice was soft and sounded thoughtful.
Yes?
Why do I have a killer cuffed in my bathroom?
Seemed the best place to put him, really. Avoid giving the nurse fits if she does a round.
Chang?
Yes?
I still have a gun under my pillow, so stop fucking around. Why haven't you called Sam yet? And what are the others up to?
There's something we have to deal with. Just rest, okay?
They were after me from the start.
It was an indifferent assertion.
Taking Rolina hostage, invading the conference, threatening all those civilians, and it was just to get me.
Just? Wu Fei stared blankly at the ceiling, remembering the flicker of feeling that had made its way even through his warrior's focus, as he saw the executioner put the gun against Hiro's head. At the time, there had only been shock, a small reflex denial. Despite his habit of trying to self-destruct at regular intervals, Hiro seemed so invulnerable. Wu Fei had always assumed he'd be the first to die. That was all he'd felt with Hiro kneeling on the ground with that gun to his head. The pain had started when Wu Fei had realized Hiro was still alive, and that life was a lot less simple than before. That small, niggling worry was still with him, unwanted, yet strangely a part of him already, and he doubted it would ever leave him. It was part of having a future again. He thought he would get used to it, eventually. He wouldn't let it hamper his performance.
"Don't get your head swelled. They were after me, too," he murmured, banishing the memory.
"You just happened to be the one who walked into the trap first. Luckily for me, since I doubt Rolina would have thrown herself on that gun for my sake."
"She would have."
"She might have," Wu Fei conceded. "As it is, she was incidental, but handy for us. People will assume they were after her."
Hiro grunted and dropped off to sleep with a suddenness that spoke of his exhaustion. Wu Fei hoped he'd get better soon. It was disconcerting having his partner so weakened. Several hours passed. Apparently, Helsman's instructions were followed because no nurses came in to check on the potentially dangerous patient. Hiro slept, breath regular, though still slightly labored, as it pulled stitches and moved his sore ribcage, now patched together with the best bone sealant modern medicine could provide. Wu Fei watched the rise and fall of the sheet, a sliver of moon that briefly appeared in the window's frame, the hypnotic dance of lines on the monitors. Hiro's bedside phone rang with the effect of a grenade going off. Wu Fei nearly knocked his chair over, and Hiro had the lugger out from under the pillow again. They both froze, Wu Fei trying to assess how awake his partner was before moving again. Hiro's eyes were momentarily confused, but then he frowned in recognition. They both started as the phone rang again. Wu Fei, reasonably certain he wouldn't get shot now. "I knew it was a bad idea to leave him a gun." Went to pick it up before a nurse could wonder why a phone was ringing at 6 in the morning, when the hospital operator didn't allow calls to a visitor's room before 9. The hospital would probably not appreciate knowing how easily their phone system could be hacked.
"Shenlong," he said into the receiver.
He said nothing, just listened. The person on the end talked for about 10 minutes. Finally, Wu Fei hung up without a word, and glanced at his watch.
"Now are you going to tell me what's going on?"
Hiro's voice was getting back to its well-remembered tone of hard-edged detachment, but still betrayed some annoyance, as Wu Fei elevated the end of his bed a bit and propped him up.
"No," Wu Fei said, and turned before Hiro could respond violently.
He went to drag a dozing Orwell and a furious and cramped killer from the bathroom, and sat them both on the ground beneath the window.
"Dr. Edwin Orwell."
The doctor started and stared up at Wu Fei like a rabbit staring at a wolf.
"Your father was the pilot of the El Paso, an Oz MS carrier that was destroyed while bringing a cargo of dolls down to Earth. The convoy was attacked by a Gundam. Orwell stared at him. Is that why you did this? Silence. In case you didn't know, this man here had nothing to do with that. He knows, the other man said with a cold smile. But we'll get to that pilot sooner or later. He knows that. That pilot was here just earlier, Wu Fei murmured, eyes still fixed on Orwell. He was the one who took your prints, the pilot of Death Scythe. Did you know that? Orwell continued to stare at him. His eyes were so wide they rimmed his irises with white, and his face was pale in the glimmer of morning sunlight from outside. You could have at least spat at him, Wu Fei commented with a shrug, then turned towards the other. Albert Guns, you live in Dusseldorf. You used to work as a communication engineer for the Alliance. Your wife was a translator on General Noventia's staff. She got on the same plane as he did when they pretended to evacuate him from New Edwards. Gantz glared at him, then slowly turned to stare at Hiro on the bed. Hiro's eyes were indifferent. Wu Fei knew he'd laid those ghosts to rest long before. This is not over. We will not let you get away with your crimes, Gantz whispered. You can kill me. Others will come. We are still at war. It doesn't end here. Well, that remains to be seen. The other two men you left down in the car were Ernest Laus from Bessel and Anthony Maristock from a borough of London. Laus is a hothead who believes the Gundam pilots work for a worldwide conspiracy that is trying to enslave Earth to some colony think tank. Or something. Maristock was part of the Libra's maintenance crew. Most of his platoon went down with it. Right? Gantz didn't answer him, and Wu Fei hadn't expected him to. Wu Fei took the television's remote from the windowsill. He keyed it on and moved aside so that both men could see it from where they were sitting. Orwell still had a dazed look in his eyes, but Gantz was frowning at the tube, puzzled. Wu Fei flicked it on and surfed around until he found a 24-hour news channel with countrywide coverage. They listened for a few minutes while the news presenter discussed the various economical problems in Germany and elsewhere after the latest proposal of free trade between Earth and colonies. Then some advertisements. Gantz was starting to shift restlessly. And then the headlines. The attack by terrorists unknown on the conference in Berlin was discussed. Photos of Relina flashed on the screen. Nothing new was actually said. Berlin was rocked by yet another shocking attack a few hours ago. A house in the suburbs of East Berlin was utterly destroyed in an explosion shortly after 4 this morning. Police say that the explosion was of criminal origin. Neighbors said that armed men... Orwell's scream, muffled by Wu Fei's hand over his mouth, cover the next few sentences of the presentation, as pictures of police tape and fire engines marring a residential area were shown. Gantz was staring at Wu Fei, eyes widening. Wu Fei took his hand away when Orwell began to sob. Words in German and three names were tumbling over one another, each trying to rip the greater measure of grief from him. The uncaring voice of the presenter overrode his pain. This second bombing, though smaller and confined to one apartment, was very similar to the one in Berlin. Since no one has claimed responsibility for either, the police refuse to speculate whether these two blasts are related. They say gang activity might be involved. Gantz gasped. Orwell's panic had covered some of the journalist's comments, but the camera had switched to a helicopter view of a low-rise building with one fire-scorched window, and the tag on the screen read, Dusseldorf. An hour ago, we learned of an explosion in Basel that may have had similarities to these two attacks. The German anti-terrorist forces are cooperating with their Swiss counterparts to determine whether this could have been the same group. News from Basel is sketchy at the moment.
We will update this broadcast when... Wufei switched it off. I suspect they won't mention it right away, but there is a small house burning in London tonight. Wufei's voice was distant, still looking blankly at the graying screen.
You...
Gaunce shook his head, and cast a glance that was both angry and pitying at a collapsed Orwell. Then he looked up slowly at Wufei, face twisted and pale.
You fucking murderers!
Unarguably. Wufei put the remote down on the small table in the corner next to the window. Then he knelt in front of the men again.
Orwell!
He snapped his fingers in front of the man's glazed eyes a couple of times, until the litany of names broke and the man focused on him, dazed.
Your wife and sons are alive. They were evacuated before the house was destroyed. So were your neighbors, to be on the safe side.
Orwell simply stared at him, mouth wide.
Why should we believe you?
Gaunce hissed.
Why should I lie?
Wufei answered, suddenly very tired.
The people living in the...
Whoa! He caught Orwell as the man slumped.
Here.
Wufei tossed him a pillow from the bed. Wufei frowned reproachfully at him for the unwise movement that had visibly tightened his body with pain. But the look he got in return was uncaring. The mask was impenetrable once more. After making Orwell comfortable, Wufei turned to Gaunce.
We evacuated the people living in your apartment building as well, as they might have been harmed in the blast. They...
Why should I care? Gaunce said numbly.
I didn't know them. I don't have any more family for you to threaten.
You knew them, even if it was just arguing with the old lady in 4B because of the way her terrier always roamed the hallway outside your door.
Gaunce's head whipped up to stare at him.
Or yelling at the neighbor's kids to shut up when they were playing outside your window. And you have an uncle and a young cousin living in Lucrene. And your wife had family in a little village north of Munz.
What? You didn't?
Gaunce stared at him wildly.
No, we didn't. This time.
So what? This is a threat?
No, we don't do threats. It was reprisals. For DuPont. Emmett and the other cop you tasered. Coshed and stuffed in a broom closet. For the innocent people you terrorized, held at gunpoint just to get at us. Pistol whipped to the ground, clipped with bullets on your escape. But we didn't kill anybody, because you didn't. This time.
Gaunce stared at him, hostile but unsure.
Wufei sighed.
It was you, wasn't it? You're the one who shot at me from behind the garbage container.
I wanted the other one.
Gaunce stared venomously at Hiro.
But the man who was killed in the conference room, one of the men that was killed, his younger brother was a cadet in that base you blew up. That kid was the only family Andre had left. I was thinking about him. I would have liked to kill you for him.
Fair enough, Wufei said with a shrug. That's not what I wanted to talk about, though. It's what you said. We're still at war.
Yes, the Peacecraft bitch can say what she wants. We won't rest until we...
I found that rather amusing, actually. Gaunce stared at him. You obviously have no concept of what the word means. Most civilians or support personnel don't. They just see the result, and they take it very personally sometimes. There were a couple of ex-soldiers among the ones I killed in the hotel yesterday. They could have told you how wrong you were.
You aren't at war, Gaunce. War is when you want something. Revenge, in your case. Or possibly justice. Badly enough, where the lives are of secondary importance. All that matters is to obtain what you want, and you are willing to pay the cost. All that matters to the other side in a war, since two sides are something of a necessity, is to make the cost high enough where you cannot afford it. The cost is counted in resources, weapons, money, human lives. That's war. If you were at war, you would not have attacked with five men. That was a needless waste of resources.
since you were already and rather expecting to die. You'd have chosen one of your numbers, smuggled in 2K of C4 instead of guns, strapped it on him, and walked up to Yui and myself while we were guarding the VIPs. You'd have gotten us both for only one life that way. Of course there would have been casualties, but that's war, right?
Gantz was staring at him defiantly. So that's your answer. Any attack against you and you'll...
You're not listening. I'm telling you what war is, and that you're obviously not at war, considering your actions up until now. And if you continue this way, you're quite free to attack us any time.
And you'll blow up our houses and our families if...
No, we will defend ourselves, but nothing more.
Gaunt stared. Orwell, who'd come around, was looking at Wufei in glassy-eyed bewilderment.
Personally, I don't care if you kill me in the pursuit of revenge. Actually, there is a poetic justice there that I find somewhat appealing. We were ready to die every day of the war, and we are ready to die for its consequences every day for the rest of our lives. It was the cost of the war when we started it, and the price we are quite willing to pay. In a way, we've all been dead since we were 15, so no, our lives are not that expensive. But never, ever, threaten innocence again in an effort to stalemate us. This is between us and whoever wants to take it out on our hides, for whatever satisfaction that will provide. But do not involve other people in this. You said you weren't murderers before. That's why you didn't kill any hospital staff to get here. Good. Continue like that. You are quite welcome to try to kill us, but don't start a war. Not with us. Trust me. We will find a way of making the cost too high for you. Maybe not for you, although I'm thinking you wouldn't want to see your wife's family dragged from their homes at midnight and shot. But we will attack your resources. Like him.
Orwell recoiled from the finger pointed at him.
We are letting you go, in case you've not figured that out yet. Feel free to tell others what I've said. Or not. It doesn't matter. I know these things have a way of spreading anyway. Soon, people will know. It will be a rumor, a legend, something people will not quite believe in and not quite dare discount. It will be said that anybody who starts a war with us, the kind of war where it doesn't matter if innocent people get caught in the crossfire, will pay. Anybody who helps them, with information, weapons, or simply by looking the other way, will pay too. Them, their families, their homes, their fucking pets. It's not fair, but it's war. There will be casualties on both sides.
Wufei released the cuffs. Gantz rubbed his wrists, red and white flesh, but stayed seated against the wall, eyes wide and dazed.
You really would.
To stop this from escalating? To stop you from making it a massacre next time?
I think you're bluffing.
Do you?
Silence.
Do you think this will stop us? Gantz finally whispered.
Who knows? It will stop some of you, Wufei shrugged. Others, you'll find it difficult to infiltrate a conference room full of innocent people if no one's willing to help you. You won't find someone willing to sell you a lot of weapons or explosives if they know who your target is. And they'll be asking from now on. They'll be on the lookout for such as you. The underworld and the black market know us well already. My friends have been very busy tonight. They've been making calls, seeing people. You'd be surprised how fast this kind of bad news can travel.
Won't stop us.
Good for you. I admire a man of principles. Here.
Wufei grabbed a notebook from his uniform breast pocket, scribbled a number on it, and stuffed the piece of paper into the recoiling Gantz's collar. Here's my secured number in Brussels. If you or anyone else wants my life, just call me. I swear on my name that I will show up alone, armed with my gun, one spare charger, and my sword. Anytime, any place you name. just somewhere far away from any innocent bystanders. Pass that offer on to anyone who might be interested. If you or those others get lucky enough to kill me, no reprisals will be taken against you or anyone you care about.
I can be reached at the same number, Hiro said suddenly from the bed. His voice made Gaunt start.
Now, get out of here!
Wu Fei stood up and moved between the two men and Hiro.
Gaunt stared at Hiro, then Wu Fei. Orwell tried to get to his feet, staggered.
Wu Fei caught his arm and held him until he was steady. The doctor gave him a look of incredulous horror and tore himself away, staggering towards the door.
Gaunt got up, more slowly. He stared at Hiro again, for a few long seconds. Then he smiled.
See you soon then, Wing.
Hiro simply nodded. Gaunt walked stiffly out of the room, and Wu Fei closed the door after him. After 5 minutes, listening to the noises in the hallway outside, he went to sit down on the chair, suddenly limp with exhaustion.
Take a nap, Chang. You've been up for over 24 hours. I'll take watch.
You need rest, Yui.
I've been resting. Take an hour. I'll wake you.
Hiro patted the lump of the lugger beneath his pillow, an unconscious gesture. Wu Fei grunted and closed his eyes, memories of many catnaps sitting in Nitaku's cabin coming back to him.
So, I'll be seeing Gaunt again,
Hiro remarked, voice still indifferent, as Wu Fei settled. Wu Fei snorted. Hell no. I forgot to mention another rule to Gaunt. You only get one shot at us. He's had his go. Barton is following him, and Winner put a tail on the others, too, when Barton released them. Let's see who they contact with my message. See if we can follow this one to the source. We're very curious to know how they found out you and I were going to be Relina's watchdogs yesterday. You've not been near her for a while, and I can't think how they knew I'd be there. Our movements are kept secret.
A leak?
From somewhere in Preventers. Maybe even our division.
But you meant what you told him.
Yes. Wu Fei felt his lips go numb. His limbs were heavy. His voice drifted with a will of its own.
Gonsol spread the word, before Barton reels him in and arrests him.
Wu Fei relaxed in the chair, head nodding.
He'll pass the message. No more war. Civilians safe. They'll know any time, any place. Just me, and one gun, and... but not alone.
It was the last words he heard before he drifted off. No, not alone. Not anymore. Medical release and next of kin, and Scythe, Heavy Arms, and Sandrock, one phone call away. So that's the future, eh? Who'd have thought?